Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. On today's call, we're going to talk about seven keys to winning conversations. Do you consider yourself a great conversationalist? Do your friends view you as one? What does it take to be a great conversationalist? Some may say, well, what do you mean by conversationalist? Well, according to dictionary.com,
I was going to say, just saying it might be a real feat already.
Conversationalist.
Is.
defined as a person who enjoys and contributes to good conversation. An interesting person in conversation. Dictionary.com also defines conversation as informal interchange of thoughts, information, by spoken words. Oral communication between persons, talk, colloquy.
Yeah, that's the other one from soliloquy, right? Yeah,
that's okay. A conversationalist is someone who is good with words. Let's talk about seven keys to winning conversations. First, be interested in who you're talking to. If you're willing to trade your time for your life, after all, your time is your life, to have a conversation with someone, then your interest needs to be real. Truthfully, on a spiritual level, you should be interested in what they have to say, because like you, they're born again child of the Most High God.
In most instances.
Romans 8:17, King James Version. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. If the conversation is a result of an appointment or plan to get together, then find out what you can about the person before the meeting. Google their name or Facebook. Check them out, as I said, on social media sites, all of them. Second,
focus on others instead of yourself. Listen to what they have to say. There's, you know, two ears and one mouth, right?
That's it.
In every conversation you have, there will be some people who spend your entire time talking about their problems. That's a different conversation. While they might not understand the art of conversation, you can. Remember, these children of God are no doubt hurting and need an understanding ear. We can owe them the courtesy of listening because they are part of the body of Christ that we are.
Yes.
In Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16 in the Classic Amplified, it says, rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. Enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way and in all things into him who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For because of him, the whole body, the church, and all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part with power adapted to its need is working properly in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. Wow. Just imagine how God feels sometimes listening to each of us, perhaps not contributing too much other than just complaining. And he does so with patience and love. We should probably offer no less in our conversations with some others.
Third, don't be argumentative. There are people who enjoy arguing with everyone about everything or most everything, even though they know next to nothing about anything. It's true, honey. For whatever psychological reason, some people would rather argue than eat. Now, that's what the Word of God says we're not to do. 2 Timothy 2, 23 and 24. 2 Timothy 2, 23-24, Classic Amplified Bible. but refuse. Shut your mind against, have nothing to do with, trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid controversies over ignorant questionings, for you know that they foster strife and breed quarrels. And the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting and contending. Instead, he must be kindly to everyone and mild-tempered, preserving the bond of peace. He must be a skilled and suitable teacher, patient and forbearing, and willing to suffer wrong. Also like 2 Timothy 2:24 in the Living Bible, which says, God's people must not be quarrelsome. They must be gentle, patient teachers of those who are wrong.
And fourth, we need to elevate our conversation. We need to eliminate words that, well, are going in the negative or going south, I like to say. We need to eliminate stuff like quit and can't and try and failure and negative and compromising from our vocabulary. It also means we need to guard our heart, because out of the abundance of it, the mouth will speak. Ephesians 4:29, classic amplified, Ephesians 4:29 says, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as it is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. We need to just speak and concentrate on speaking the pure, the powerful, and the positive from the Word of God over every person and situation we deal with. Too often we try to bring God down to our way of thinking and speaking, as opposed to elevating ourselves and others to His way of thinking and speaking.
So true. Fifth, don't criticize or judge. Instead, give compliments. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. And I might add, even if it's wrong. I had to throw that in. This is especially true when it comes to politics. Amen to that. I've discovered over the years that sometimes, the person most passionate about a cause or politician does so without logic or facts. Don't belittle anyone because of their conversation. Truthfully, you don't have to. They'll do it themselves. Respect other people's point of view, their space, not in your face conversations and their personal choices. However, do compliment other people sincerely. Encourage them in their faith. Always put people in the best light. Speak an encouraging word daily. It is our scriptural responsibility. Let me say that again. Speaking an encouraging word daily is our scriptural responsibility. Hebrews 3:13, New International Version. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. If we look, we can always find something good say about others. Don't flatter the person. That's a sin. But find ways in which to encourage them. If you ask God, He'll reveal things that you can say in sincerity. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, classic amplified Bible. Therefore, encourage, admonish, exhort one another, and edify, strengthen, and build up one another, just as you're doing.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
Sixth, ask questions. The best way, really, to find out what's important to a person is to ask questions. The kind of questions you ask will allow you to steer the direction of the conversation. But ask meaningful questions. For example, ask someone what's their
zodiac sign.
No, that would be, I was just saying, that's what not to ask.
That's shallow. That's shallow conversation. And and it shows a lack of spiritual depth, too.
So that's not something we want to ask.
That's it.
But you can start off with simple question like, You know, how's the new year? I mean, how has the year been going? And are you looking forward to fall and, you know, other things that are just apropos? Or where do you go to church? Or do you have time to listen to preachers and, you know, when you're driving in your car? Or what preachers or ministers do you like most? What you've been reading lately? What's the best sermon or teaching you've heard? Anyway, the point being is we need to be learning more and more about Jesus. Hallelujah. He was a master at asking questions. In reading the red letter edition of the Bible, you find that Jesus asked over 173 questions that are just recorded, you know, in the Bible during his earthly ministry, just in the Gospels. While the number of questions, you know, Jesus asked is interesting, we find it's interesting how he asked them and why he asked them. Because God asks questions. He wants his listeners to think. It facilitates the learning process in each one of us. And without a doubt, one of the best learning methods is to ask questions. After all, this technique was utilized by the greatest teacher of all, our Lord and Savior. There are at least four recorded instances where he said to his disciples, "What do you think?" He also asked, "How think ye? Won't he?" as well as other word choices to involve the disciples in a parable or to provoke their thinking. Matthew 21:28, Classic Amplified, is an example of how Jesus asked questions. He says, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.'" If you go into that, it's a very fascinating story. But the point of it is, if you're spending time with someone, give thought to the question that you would ask. It provokes, that scripture provokes a lot of thinking.
Yes, it does. Seven more things about winning conversations.
All right.
Number one, do ask a series of yes and no questions. Ask open-ended questions can keep a conversation moving. Two, be attentive when they speak, even if what they say is no interest to you. Don't be thinking about what you have to do next or looking around to see who else is in the room. In other words, maintain contact. That lets them person know just how important they are to you. Number three, know when to speak and when to listen. Number four, keep up with what's happening in the world. I don't watch news programs much anymore. I don't have the time or stomach for it. You know, I go to news sites that I think are unbiased to keep abreast of what's going on. But you need to find your own source of news without wasting a lot of time. Number five, and I have opinions on those. Number five, remember that a conversation is not a monologue. Limit yourself to 4 or 5 sentences and maybe 40 seconds in your responses. Don't get upset if the other person hogs the conversations. Number six, you don't have to be right about everything. Will have the last word. In fact, we told our children that if they had the last word, they didn't generally win the argument, they generally lost it. And seventh, be observant. Notice whether or not the other person is giving you visual signs that the conversation is coming to an end. If you see any eye rolling, clock watching, foot tapping, you've worn out your welcome and your time. Hopefully these 7 keys will help you in the workplace, marketplace, and
church
the home place.
Yeah.
Until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. And it's a happy birthday to our daughter today.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. We're going to go celebrate.
Zan. Celebrate. Okay.
See you tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Bye-bye.